War Room, Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, it's the 15th of May, the year of our Lord 2021. It's Saturday. We normally try to get into issues in much greater depth. We're going to be giving you updates of what's going on across the country in the search for the answer to the 3rd of November, the year of our Lord 2021. More news coming out of Arizona we'll get to later in the show. We're live today with over closing in on 53 million downloads on the podcast. Of course, live on the John Frederick Radio Network. Live on Real America's Voice, the streaming service. I want to thank the team out in Denver for helping us put this show together every day of the week, but particularly on Saturdays, where it's a little tougher. Up on Dish Channel 219, Comcast on Cable 113, Roku, Pluto, and of course in GNews and GTV, now in Mandarin and in Japanese, live stream. Translated immediately and, of course, subtitled later and blown through the firewall of China for La Beijing. The deplorables of China. Okay, we got a lot to get through today. Very special. The American generals talk. Okay, extraordinary letter came out this past week from Captain Bannon, about 124, I think, of the most revered military leaders in an extraordinary letter following about a week by some of the most revered military leaders in France that warned President Macron that the nation was sliding into chaos, into civil war. And that letter, principally, the letter was signed, I think, by 80 senior military flag officers and senior field officers in the French army, said that we're sliding to civil war unless there's immediate corrections. You know, things will have to happen. And so, and by the way, Le Pen picked up on that, Marine Le Pen, who's going to run for the president of France against Macron in the spring of 2022. So this has caused a huge consternation. And then a lot of active duty personnel have signed or co-signed or supported that letter in France. The letter we have from Flag Officers for America, and today we're going to have Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, Major General Gary Harrell, and Brigadier General Dan Bodick. They were all special operators. Field leaders of our special operators, all highly decorated, some of the bravest individuals, without question, judgment of leading young men and women in combat during the Iraq and Afghanistan war. Some with just incredible combat experience and numbers of deployments. But I want to start off. I think we've got. Do we have General? We have General.
We have Jerry and Don.
Okay, we have General Bodick and we have General Boykin. Let's bring them in. Here's where I want to start. Now Frank Gaffney is here. By the way, I just want to make sure everybody understands that the start time of the show is 10 a.m. Seaman Gaffney, Petty Officer Gaffney. I know how you guys run stuff over the Defense Department, but in the war room,
just in time.
General Boykin knows, and Captain Van can reaffirm. We hit our marks on time. Okay, I want to bring in Boykin and Jerry Boykin, Lieutenant General, and Dan Brigadier General Dan Bodick. Here's the first question I've gotten, Frank. Let me start with you. One of the things we try to do in the war room is talk about process. We get nomenclature, talk about critical path process, statics and dynamics of process, so people can make judgments for their own and they can use their own human agency. The show's so powerful, not because of us, because this activist audience that is taking over PTAs, you know, the taking over the school boards, they're signing up for, you know, Dan Schultz, the West Point grads, got everybody signed up for precinct commitment throughout the country. Right, we've got all this happening at the grassroots level because people feel empowered because now they have information and a framework of how to make decisions. Okay, I want to start process. In September of this previous year, in the run-up to the 2020 election, if Denver could please put that letter up, we spent many hours on this show going through this letter that was so extraordinary. I think 353 officers, including the Admiral, when I came off of sea duty in the South China Sea, Admiral Hayward, a revered fighter pilot was relieved by Jim Watkins a couple of years later. But Admiral Hay was chief of naval operations. I was a junior officer. I was a special assistant. He signed it. And what they said in their interviews is that this election is the most important election in the history of the Republic. They thought that the radical agenda. So this letter, this just came out the other day, just didn't pop up in the middle of the night. I believe that all 124 were signatories of the original letter. So, and you described that at the time quite brilliantly as a threat assessment, that they saw this coming and were predicting what was going to happen. So I want to go through, before bringing our generals, the special day the American generals talk. We're going to spend the entire first hour with the generals, second hour talking about the war footing against the Chinese Communist Party, where exactly stand. We have a very special guest, a super, if you think the bomb throwers we have so far, we got a super bomb thrower coming in the second hour.
Mega bomb thrower.
Frank Gaffney, the first letter, threat assessment. Take us through that.
Well, first of all, let me just say, I apologize for coming in very hot on this, but I'm delighted to be here. Second of all, this program, Steve, is a national treasure. What you're doing to inform this audience and equip them to take action is unsurpassed and desperately needed. And what these general officers have been doing, as you say, going back to before the election, was bringing their professional national security judgment to bear, making the point that the threat that was facing us externally and internally and that would be compounded, absolutely take it to the bank predictably by the Biden administration.
Big time.
Was this going to be a perilous thing for
this was
our
a called, country. This was a called shot. And what's so stunning is everything they said in September has come to fruition in the first 100 days of the Biden administration. This is not like they waited. Right. These guys said this is the most important in the history of the Republic. And if these people are allowed to take over, here's exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
So the letter,
I think, that even they, though, were probably surprised at how precipitous has been this catastrophe.
If you look at the two letters, the second letter is really a sit rep. It's a situation report of where we are.
Exactly.
And now it's a call to action. The call to action, and by the way, this is why we're so obsessed with two things. We got to get to the bottom of November 3rd, and we got to get to the bottom of Wuhan Lab. You get to the bottom of those two things, everything else comes unraveled. And they said that this is going to be a threat to democracy. They foreshadowed exactly what's going to happen.
Right. And now they're connecting the dots for the rest of us, using, again, that same national security threat analysis perspective as to what is happening to our country, so that all of us who know something is wrong can understand exactly what it is and what it will imply if we don't stop it.
Let me say something about the show, in particular with our great distribution partners, Real America's Voice, John Furrier, all of it in the podcast. There's so many people, over 50, almost 53 million now. It's the easiest job I ever had. Here's why. You have an audience that's thirsting for this information. This is not an entertainment show. And what makes it easy, we have patriots who are prepared to stand up and say, my voice will be heard. I will go for it. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they attack. Because listen, all 124 of these, it would be so easy for these flag officers just to stay in retirement, keep quiet. Let's play golf every day. You know, let's take a couple of consulting agreements from
the board seats.
Board seats, couple of consulting agreements, go on TV and talk smack every now and again. And it'd be the easiest life in the world. And they would deserve it given their service to their country.
Right.
However, in their later years, when they're elders and have wisdom, they have now, and I would argue, gone into more treacherous territory than they even served in the battlefields in Iraq and Afghanistan and throughout the world in Africa. This is far more treacherous, right? Far more treacherous.
Counterinsurgency.
And because you're
deep behind enemy lines.
You are inside the wire when you come here, right? And it's treacherous. Captain Bannon, real quickly, give us a thumbnail of Boykin, Harrell, and Bodick before we turn to him.
So Lieutenant General Boykin, he was had a 36-year career. 13 of those years were in Delta Force, and 2 of those years he was the Delta Force commander. And Brigadier General Bodick from 2010 to 11 was the commander of the Combined Joint Special Operations Task Force and commander. And in 2012 to 13, he was the commander of the Combined Joint Special Operations component in Afghanistan.
And General Harrell?
He had a 35-year career. He was a Special Operations Command, and he was assigned to the prestigious First Special Forces Operation Detachment.
Wow. So these are 3 special operators that have just been at the forefront, yes.
And I just want to address, when you talked about retirement, that call for service never goes away. Even when you retire, it's always there, and they see what's happening to this great country, And it's not going to go away. And they're going to fight like they did when they were active duty. They're going to continue to fight when they're retired.
How does this inspire veterans like yourself that have served over there and now are in civilian life when you see men of this caliber step up and say, hey, here's why we need to step up and defend this republic again?
I mean, it inspires veterans that were lower ranking than them to step up as well, because we see the institution that we served in disappearing, and the military that we know and love, and this country that we know and love, change completely.
Don't even get me going on the woke. Don't even get me going on the woke Navy, and particularly the woke West Point, which is a topic for another day. My head will blow. I want to go to. So let's start with General Boykin, and then we'll go around the horn. What was it, sir, that made you guys warn the nation back in September, and then what developed in your eyes to then step forward and obviously controversial? When an election, you know, when Biden is at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and is the commander in chief, to step up now. So what was it principally that drove you?
Well, when we wrote the first letter there that had the 235 or so signatures, we were looking at the people that have been elected in our Congress to begin with, and realizing that if they had any influence on the next commander in chief, the next president, that we were going to, in 4 years, we were going to become a Marxist country. And I think we were all very concerned about that. You see, especially those of us who have come out of special operations, because I ran the special operations school, the special warfare center and school, and we taught Marxist insurgency. And we sent our men out of that school understanding Marxism and understanding what a Marxist revolution looks like, because our mission, and in many cases, was to help indigenous forces fight against that. So we saw this Marxism coming to America just based on the people that we were seeing in the Congress, the people that we knew would be part of a Biden administration. And that what we were trying to do was warn people, vote right. Elections have consequences. Vote right. And make sure that you understand that this Marxist movement in America is real, and you cannot deny it anymore. And we can go back to the roots of it and talk about what it looks like. But that was fundamentally why we wrote that letter.
General Boddick, we got about a minute before we go to break. Well, what about you, sir?
Well, sir, thank you very much. And I really appreciate being on your show. And thank you for what you're doing to highlight this. Hey, it was pure and simple for me. It was, I saw the biggest threat to our republic, our democracy, our form of government, everything that I fought for. I lost 72 men and women in combat under my command over 10 tours in Afghanistan in two years as the Special Operations Commander, Africa Commander. And the threat was from within. And that's how America is going to go down. And we can go back 50 years and see how they have initiated this the same way I would initiate it if I was taking over a country. General Boykin was my commander over several different pieces of my career. One, when I was going through training. Two, when I was a young major in 5th Special Forces Group. Three, when I was in the Pentagon as a lieutenant colonel and a colonel. So I've worked with him, and I know exactly what training he's talking about. I would undermine education. I would supplant it with an ideology. I would take away our skills so that we had, one, uneducated kids along with no trades. They can't do anything. I would use that ideology to tell them a false narrative of our history. Then I would try and tear our history down, and I would continue to tear apart the very fabric. And then I would come up with two generations of kids that don't understand what freedom is, what liberty is, what pursuit of happiness is, what everything is. And we got that now.
General Boddick, hang on 1 second. We're taking a short commercial break. We're going to return with Generals Harold, Boykin, and Boddick about the Marxist insurgency within your own nation, next in the War Room.
Okay, the world's on fire. You got war in Israel. You got a total collapse of the U.S. dollar. You got $6 trillion of spending that we can't handle while the consumer price index explodes, unemployment explodes, retail sales are flat. The Biden administration has absolutely zero idea what they're doing financially or in capital markets. What are you to do about it? Well, the first thing is to take action about your own personal finances. You need to consider today investment alternatives, and the one you need to consider first is precious metals. If it's gold and silver you're talking about, Birch Gold's the place to go. It's got an A-plus rating by the Better Business Bureau. Go to Birch Gold today. How do you do it? Type in the following. You got to text the following. Bannon, B-A-N-N, at the following number, 484848. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, at the following number, 484848. What are you going to get? A 20-page brochure that walks you through everything you need to know about gold and silver. Then you can talk to a Birch specialist. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family. Most importantly, you owe it to your retirement. Go to Birch Gold today. How do you do it? Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, the following number, 484848. Don't do it today. Do it right now.
War Room, Pandemic, with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room, Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, we're halfway through May, and you have not finished your spring shopping. You know why we know that? You haven't gone to MyPillow.com. Go to MyPillow.com today. Support the armor-piercing shell that is Mike Lindell. What a patriot. Much of the stuff that's happening throughout the country is because Mike Lindell's put his shoulder to the wheel and the team at MyPillow. Support the MyPillow team. Support Mike Lindell and support the War Room. Go to MyPillow.com. Are you okay, Frank?
I'm okay. Sorry.
Petty Officer Gaffney. Petty Officer Gaffney's having a very slow start today. Okay, so go to MyPillow.com.
Make me a civilian.
I don't know how the Pentagon runs over there, dude, but I'm so glad we got special operators.
It was a long time
ago. Glad we got special operators here. go to MyPillow.com, type in promo code WARROOM, get up to 66% discounts, and make sure Giza sheets, the sale's not going to last forever. 2-for-1 Giza sheets, 40% off slippers. Do it today. Use your agency. Take some action. MyPillow.com, support the freedom fighters. Okay. I want to go back. The heads are blown up already because we know, look, all the mainstream media producers, all the big newspapers, they all have, maybe on Saturday, not the senior most people, they got the grundoons watching this, but the grundoons' heads are blown up because we're talking about a Marxist insurgency. I want to go back to General Boykin. And remember, here's the key part for the audience. And this is why Lao Beijing and the Chinese, this is why we had them back. We had all the Chinese voices back in during the beginning of the pandemic on the weekends talking about in June, the cultural Marxism, struggle sessions. This is what the Red Guard did during the Cultural Revolution in the 1960s in China. This is what the Bolsheviks did. This is the process. Break down the nuclear family, crush you, right? General Boykin, you taught this to our young troops as special operators, Marxist insurgencies. Be specific. Why do you say that there's a Marxist insurgency going on in this country by the elites that are driven by these radical progressive Democrats and these non-government, these NGOs that are throughout the country? Why do you say it's a Marxist and not just people saying, hey, I just want the Republic to be better. We're pro-democracy. We're all that. Why do you say it's a Marxist insurgency, sir?
Well, because in 1958, they wrote a book called The Naked Communist by a guy named Skousen. And they told us exactly how they were going to take over America. They told us about the revolution. They told us what they were going to do. And Don Bolduc just talked about some of it. They were going to undermine the education system. But you just said something that is very key, Steve. They were going to destroy the nuclear family because the most important fabric in our society is a family. And they laid out exactly how they were going to do that. And they were also going to unionize teachers in order to control those teachers. Have we seen that played out here? And ultimately, they were going to destroy America from within. The same thing that we have heard from the jihadists is that they would destroy America from within by infiltrating the institutions of America. And now you have to look at these riots that are taking place by BLM and Antifa and other groups and understand that this is the insurgency. This is the revolution that Karl Marx talked about when he wrote his book about communism. We have to understand that it's all playing out on the streets of America right now. And I can go down the list of things that they said they were going to do when they wrote that book in 1958. And then
okay, hang on for one second. Yeah, hang on for that. I'm gonna come back to that. Hang on to that. I want to go to Bodick. We're trying to get up General Harrell. General Bodick, correct me if I'm wrong. I thought when Ronald Reagan came in and said, "Hey, no more détente, no more compromise, no more SALT agreements. They're an evil empire. We win." He told Dick Allen, "We win, they lose." Didn't the Berlin Wall collapse in 1989? I thought we won. I thought we proved to the world economically, technologically, culturally, that and by the way, the Catholic Church and Thatcher and the freedom fighters like Valesa, the people in Eastern Europe, they threw it off, said they can't do it anymore. And the people in Russia said, get these people out of here. I thought we won in 89. How are we in a situation in May of 2021? I have some of our most revered special operators that have fought on battlefields all over the world are sitting here on a show telling me, hey, we actually have a Marxist insurgency that's actually controlling a revolution that's controlling the government of the United States. How did we go from a victory in 1989 and a total collapse? They were gone in 18 months to sitting here when last time I look, they're running the government and you're talking on War Room. So how did walk me through how that happened? General Bodick, we'll start with you. Do I have General Bodick?
May I make a point while we're getting hooked up with him? We were told at the time, Steve, you may remember, that the only place communists were still in place was in academia. And when you think about it, that's all they needed. And the general was just talking about a moment ago.
We've now got two generations, the cultural march
through the institutions. Exactly right. And when you look at what they've done to essentially put their people trained in these academic institutions,
Fukuyama told me it was the end of history.
He was flat wrong.
But his philosophy, his philosophy was in back of Bush 43, right. Bush 45. This is a Republican apparatus. If you want to see why Liz Cheney got bounced, right? If you want to see that's the philosophy. And how does a great power, when you win and you're a hyperpower, you astride the world like a Goliath. Why? Since 1914, for 50 or 60 or 70 years, you've left bodies all over every battlefield in the world. The American people, the deplorables in this audience have gone to Ford Motor Company, the airplane plants, and Rosie the Riveter, and the whole nation put their shoulder to the wheel in this, from 1914 to 1989, this great catastrophic war of the 20th century, to win and turn out victorious. Right. The question gets to be, how do we, 25 years later, sitting here going, we've got to rally the deplorables again. They have to come back to a call to arms once again at PTA boards, school boards. Sign up for the Republican Party, take over state governments. Your letter says you got to start at the lower level. How can this happen? This is an indictment on our elite. When you're telling me, oh, they had a bunch of assistant professors with tenure in the English department and history department and art department and sociology department, because they didn't have them in the engineering departments then. They didn't have them in the computer science departments. That you told me in the liberal arts colleges, oh, they still had some professors. That's just not good enough. I'm sure it's a reason, but it can't be the reason. Who betrayed this nation that got us in this mess that we're in today? And yes, we're going to win and we're going to turn this around. But the lesson people have to take from 1914 to 1989, the deplorables in this nation put their shoulder to the wheel to destroy fascism and Nazism and the military junta in Japan and the Soviets, the greatest threats we've ever had in the nation. And now to turn out, you got the Chinese Communist Party everywhere and every institution and every political party. They own Wall Street. They own the global corporations. And the globalists are sitting there shutting you down time and time again. That's the question that's got to be answered. The question is, how do you go from a massive victory unparalleled in human history? We took on every challenger all the world, in Germany, in Italy, in the Asia, in with the Japanese. And then to top it off, we took the Soviets on for 40 years and beat them. And took that down in 8 years, a guy named Ronald Reagan saying, hey, guess what? We win, they lose. How do you do that from the early 90s? What elites, what political elites, what cultural elites, what financial elites led us to this place? Because that's the question that's got to be answered. And that's what Donald Trump, as imperfect an instrument as he is, stood up in 16 and said, hey, she represents the mannish decline of the greatest nation on earth. And what these generals picked up in 20, not just the managed decline, you are about to have a revolution. It's one thing to have managed decline by elites that are bought off, right? It's one thing to have there. That's the Thucydides trap. I asked the guy,
Graham Allison. I said, hey, in all your 15 examples, you don't have one example where the elites of the declining power made more money on the way down than made on the way up. He goes, hey, that's a pretty interesting point. That is the point.
That's where we are.
How did this happen? But now, what these generals said, because of their expertise in Marxist insurgency, they said something in September of 2020 that's more important. This is not managed decline. You're on the precipice of a revolution. That's why this is the most important election in the history of the Republic, because now they're going to be inside the wire. They're going to have the levers of power, not the subterranean power they've had. They're going to have all the power, and they're going to run the tables. And 100 days into this, they have the courage to step up and say, guess what? I guess I'm not going to be playing golf all the time now, because they're going to come for me. I'm going to step up and warn this nation, like the generals in France warned it, that this thing is spinning out of control, and it's going to get worse. And if you don't step up now at the grassroots level where you can take power, you can't take power at the federal level yet. That's going to come in November 2022. But you can't wait till then. And all this nonsense on Fox and all this nonsense, it misses the point. This is the point, and the letter's the point, and the letter in September is the deeper point. It's here. And unless you combat it back at the local level, where these individuals understand this is how you defeat an insurgency, you go back to the villages. You go back to the villages, and it's the deplorables once again that have to be called to arms again, just like in 1914, just like in 1942, just like in the Cold War and in Vietnam. And it's the same people that always answer. And that's where we're going to win. No doubt we're going to win. But you need leaders like this. You need leaders like Harrell. You need leaders like Boykin. You need leaders like Bodick, who are sitting there going, it's easy for me to say nothing. It's easy to be quiet. Look in history. It's always easier to be quiet. All those individuals died in their sleep, right, in their beds. It's the brave that step forward. Okay, hopefully we'll have our technical problems worked out. I'll get off my soapbox. We will return in the war room. Just a moment.
Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, in the War Room, you come for the ramp, or you stay for the reason. I do agree with the chat that we had a little technical problem. That's why I had some free time there to kind of go off. We're going to now bring in what the show's about, the American Generals Talk. This is a War Room special about this amazing letter of these brave individuals, 124, that stepped up to really identify what is the central beating heart of the problem in our country today as it spins out of control every day. Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, Major General Gary Harrell, and Brigadier General Dan Bodick. I want to go now to General Harrell. General Howard, you heard my rant. You've signed the letter. You've talked about this Marxist insurgency. Give us your analysis of why you signed it, what's the power of the letter, and where do you think the country is?
I signed it because I think we are in considerable trouble here. I think a lot of people are not recognizing that. I listened to your discussion that you're calling a rant, but you're absolutely right. And the reason we're in this position is because if you're attacking a castle and you can't break in through the front gate, you go around to the back door where the sheep come in and out or whatever, because it's much easier to sneak in than it is to go head-to-head. And I think that's what we've been doing. You remember Nikita Khrushchev back in the 50s and early 60s? He said, we will bury you, and you won't even know we're coming. Well, there's been a lot of people, I think, working on that for a long time. And that's why I believe we're in this situation we're in right now, because we have not been awake. Not woke, awake, and that's why we're in this mess. And I'm not sure that I can solve all the answers right now, but I will tell you, when you have a government that is standing in front of a picture of a television screen where hundreds of thousands of people or 10, even 1,000 of people are coming across the border, and you're going, the border is closed. We will not let anyone in. And they're walking across, and they're all in clean clothes. You got a problem that we need to address instead of saying the border is closed. Does that answer it a little bit?
Yes, that's fantastic. General Bodick, I want to go to you because you're actually, I think you're a candidate. You're running in a Republican primary, or announced you're running a Republican primary in the state of New Hampshire, the Live Free or Die state, in the Senate. When you wrote this letter, you had to know this was going to be controversial. Take us through the thoughts. I understand it's one thing to write in September and warn the nation that it's the and flag officers to warn the nation because so many woke field officers had come out against Trump, you know, either in the administrative state itself or retirees who were just virulently anti-Trump. It's one thing to write the letter to warn the nation that this is going to happen. It's another thing that after the other side is actually in office and Joe Biden is actually the commander in chief, to then put a warning out, particularly as brutally frank as this letter was. And everybody, we got the letter up in the live chat. This letter has to be read and has to be thought about. We said the other day it needs to be shared, and passed on, not just to your friends and colleagues out there in the audience, but to people in your family that disagree with you dramatically about your support of Trump or the Trump movement or America First. It has to be shared. So, General Bodick, let me ask you, what was the thought process of the 124 that decided, because you had to know this was going to be explode throughout the world and not in a positive way to the mainstream media and the thought police that kind of controlled discussion and dialogue, not just in the United States, but throughout the world. So what was the thought process, sir?
So the thought process was simple. One, hey, we got to give everybody a warning. And then after the first 100 days, what did we see? Well, we saw it being implemented. I mean, by the numbers implementation. And now they're at the point where they have sufficiently done the bottom-up work by removing God from the public square, undermining the family, undermining our education, and a number of those institutions that are critical to our republic, going after our Second Amendment, not taking care of the health care of veterans, which I'm very involved in. Hey, if you keep your veterans sick, you don't take care of their health, and then you disarm them, who's going to stand up for you when you need them, right? So that I believe that's all part of the plan as well. And this isn't some big, huge conspiracy theory. This is a fact. And now we have two generations of youngsters that do not understand our history, do not appreciate our history, don't understand the sacrifice, and they are defining everything that they believe in by the Obama administration and blaming capitalism for being the biggest devil because of the economic problem situation crash that we had under the Obama administration, the healthcare issues, you know, attack the healthcare in New Hampshire here. It's the number one reason for personal bankruptcy. And then use the COVID, right? Use the COVID to isolate people, keep them away, scare them, fear and uncertainty instead of self-determination initiative and that don't tread on me attitude. Let's remove all of that and make people afraid and dependent. Now they're coming down from the top, because they've already undermined the bottom. And now it's time to come out and say, hey, enough is enough. We need leaders. We don't need lemmings. We don't need people that are sycophants. Being blunt, having candor has been both a curse and a blessing in my military career. And I will never deviate from that. I will do what is right. Hey, I'm a brigadier general retired in large part because my wife was done with the military, and I owed her. That. But more importantly, I went against the Obama administration and the brass when they changed their strategy in 2014 in Afghanistan. I fought hard against their policies in Africa when I spent 4 years in Africa, and I came out against them and how they were handling the mental health, physical health, and spiritual health of our service members. And now we see how they're truly undermining that. In a very, very negative way. So this is a problem, and I'm running for the United States Senate because we have a leadership problem. And in New Hampshire, with our Republican governor, who is, I believe, in the middle of this with our four Democrat representatives in Congress, undermining our self-determination, our initiative, our don't tread on me attitude, keeping us down, keeping the state closed, you know, doing all these things that ultimately are going to completely undermine our republic and destroy it from within. And I'm coming out largely and running for office because we need a change, and we need a big change. And the way you change it is people. And I'm using the grassroots. I'm using the bottom up. I'm using the training that General Boykin and General Harrell, their experience, put inside, you know, the United States Army Special Forces training. And I am using that grassroots in the opposite way, bringing God back into the public square, talking about how bad our education is and how we need to improve it, how we need to teach the truth to people, how we need to tell the truth to people. And I'll be the first one to go through the door for people. I'll go through the door. You don't have to. I'll go through the door. I will lead the way. I will fight this establishment, these people that are undermining our nation, and I will do it inside the United States Senate, where I can be most effective by sitting on critical committees, Armed Services Committee, Intelligence Committee, and bringing folks to accountability and to responsibility.
So,
for their
General Bodick, we really want to thank your wife. I know she's terribly excited about it. 25, 30 years in the military. Honey, we're going to retire.
Good news.
By the way, I'm going to sign this letter and run for the Senate. You know,
right.
Now they're going to tear your face off. Now they're going to tear your face off $1,000. Yeah, that's a bait and switch. You're a good salesman. I like that. If you can convince her, I'm sure you can convince the people in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
You know, this is part of it. We got to get the word out, right? We are being... You know, big tech, censorship, the corporate ownership of national media, and then career politicians are the three things that have got us in this situation. Yeah. Career politicians have undermined us from within. Big tech, the elitists that are working against us, the censorship keeping us quiet. Hey, I've never sat on the sidelines. Put me in, coach, and I'm ready to do it. Roll up my sleeves, and I think there's plenty of people out there that want to do this, that need to do it, and generals that signed this letter, the two, you know, General Harrell and General Boykin that you have on this show now, their leadership, we're going to get through this. We're going to come through on the other end, and we are not undemocratic. We are, I think, a quintessential example of men and women that love their country and will do anything can to preserve this great nation as we have seen it. An example for freedom, justice across the world.
Now, this is what I ask. As you look at the opposition here, these gentlemen have dedicated their lives to saving democracy. This point is about saving democracy. It's only legal, certifiable chain of custody votes that count from American citizens. That's democracy. Right. This all votes count of all this stuff is nonsense. But General Borg, I got to go to you because we're pressed for time. The left's going to see this and say, hey, these guys are courageous. They've had valor. They have fought in our wars overseas, and you can't question their courage, and you can't question their dedication to country. But they're a collection of wingnuts, and this is all conspiracy theory, you know, all conspiracy theory. And no offense, it did come out in May, and this is 7 days in May, right? All you have is Boykin and these special operators that have all colluded together. They've all drank the same Kool-Aid, and it's a conspiracy theory group of wingnuts, and this is a 7 day in May. This is tantamount to a military coup. What say you, sir?
I say, okay, at least I want you to read the letter. I want you to read what's in there, because if you read that and ponder it, you have to come to the conclusion that things are not good in this country. But second part of that is, look, at this point, I don't care what they think of me. What I want to do is get their attention. You know, I have six grandchildren, and it's about their future. It's about what kind of America they're going to grow up in, and whether they're going to live in a free society, in a free constitutional republic, or whether they're going to live in a Marxist, communist type of government controlling every aspect of their lives. So, yeah, at least when the left is criticizing me, or criticizing this whole group, at least that means they've read the letter. It means that the average American has read the letter. And whether they know who we are or whether they agree with us or not, it's still important that they at least have been warned, that they've read the letter. But at this point in my life, it is not about what people think of me. It is about the future of my grandchildren. And I've got a 36 and a half year investment in this country. And I weep because, as I told you, Steve, on your program earlier in the week, we're living through a big con right now. All this concertina wire around the Capitol and the White House and all the National Guard, with no weapons, by the way, out on the streets of Washington, D.C. There is no threat there. There's not a threat. But we're being told that there is, and it's all about convincing America that we, the conservatives, we, the people that supported Donald Trump, we that believe in the flag and the national anthem and the Constitution of the United States, we are a domestic threat. This is a con. It's all a con. And what that means is that they are in the final throes and final stages, I believe, of what they think is going to be ultimate victory in this revolution. And you cannot deny that we're not going through a revolution right now, which is well-funded and led.
General Boykin, hang on. We'll take a short commercial break. We'll be back with Generals Harrell, Bodick, and Boykin. The American generals talk in the war room next.
War Room, Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room, Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, welcome back in the War Room. Make sure you go to MyPillow today, promo code War Room. Got huge discounts, up to 66% on many items, with discounts everywhere. You get the sheets, the pillows, and the slippers. Get all over today. It's the 15th of May. We're halfway through the May spring sale, so make sure you get on today. MyPillow.com. Support the armor-piercing shell that is Mike Lindell, who's been such a huge patriot in helping us get to the bottom of November 3rd. Okay, I want to return to Major General Harrell, another special operator. General, I got to ask you the same question, because people are going to say, hey, look, these guys are brave, they're courageous, but they're all conspiracy theory wing nuts, and they've in their own mind, they've concocted this Marxist revolution that's going on, and this is 7 days in May. Is this really the coup, or do you see a coup someplace else? Well, walk through why you guys are not 7 days in May, but it may be someplace else.
Well, we're not 7 days in May because you can check it out. We haven't been going to meetings, organizing programs, coming together, talking up crowds, doing things like that. We've been kind of quietly sitting back, watching this, hoping we're not seeing what we think we're seeing. And then we've had enough, and we've said, okay, if somebody doesn't stop this, we know where it's going. We're all three special forces officers. We used to train how to do this when called upon in other countries. So we know what's going on, and we recognize it. So you can call us wing nuts, but you're not going to find anybody that's much more experienced than Jerry Boykin. And Don is very experienced as well. We've all been doing this for a long time. So you want to call it a wing nut, go ahead. But we're doing this because we love our country. Most of us have left chunks of our bodies in other places around the world. And we don't want to see it come here. And something that Jerry hit on is very, very true. I'm not doing this for myself. I'm okay. I'm retired. But I don't want my children and my grandchildren to go through this, because we know how miserable it's going to be.
General Harrell, you took an oath when you entered the military, and I think when you made flag officer, you take an oath. What was that oath that you took, and what does it mean to you today?
It means the same thing to me today that it did the day I took it when I was a second lieutenant. It's to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. We are supposed to be following the Constitution. And I must admit, I don't think we're following it very well right now. especially based on the fact that, you know, some of the things I see happening, I don't think are constitutional. And if you wonder what those things are, I would suggest you get a copy of the Constitution and take it out and read it. Because, I, you know, freedom of speech, Second Amendment, all of those things, I don't think they're just there for somebody to have them on a sheet of paper. They're there for us to live them. And if our leadership says that we're going to violate all those things, where does it end? I don't know.
General Bodick, I want to talk about how this ends. They're announcing next week they're going to be a commission on 1-6, just like there was a commission on the Kennedy assassination, like there was a commission on Pearl Harbor, like there was a commission on 9-11. I mean, this is something that's not done unless it's a major event. And in that, sir, they're essentially saying that Generals Harold, Bodick, and Boykin, the implication is that these are leaders of sedition, treason, and that this is white nationalists, white supremacists, people that are overthrowing the Constitution are by definition anti-democratic. What say you, sir?
Well, I say they're absolutely incorrect. I've been called a lot of things, but a wingnut has never been one of them. And I got to tell you that, you know, I took the same oath as General Boykin and General Harrell to support and defend our Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I am running for the United States Senate. I am not seditious in any way. I am not undemocratic. I am putting my name on the line, my reputation on the line, my service on the line, because that's what I do. And I am running for the United States Senate inside the system that was designed for us to make a change. And if you want to make a change in this country, then we got to get rid of career politicians that are the bane of our existence. On both sides of the aisle, by the way, on both sides of the aisle, we have issues. Amen. We have issues with that in our state here across the country. And we need to put different people in there that are public service oriented. That's what we are. We want to serve our nation. We want to serve the people in our nation. I want to do it for a limited period of time, 2 terms. I believe in term limits. I'm not in it to make another career. I've had a career. I support veterans. I teach. I do those things here in this state because I care about the people in this state. I'm a Granite Stater. I've been a resident of New Hampshire for 59 years and a Republican in this state for 42 years. I love my state. I love my country. Live free or die. And to even suggest that my sacrifice of the two other gentlemen here, and the sacrifice of the 72 men and women, my why I will never do anything to embarrass my country, while I will always try and I will never quit. Those men and women and their families that gave their life under my command for our freedoms and our justice. And when I see people undermining that and then using their cancel culture and their pointing of fingers to try and undermine our country, it's time to do something. And I'm doing it, and I'm running for office to make that change.
Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break. We've asked these three gentlemen to stay over for at least another segment. The American Generals Talk. We've got Lieutenant General Boykin. We've got Major General Harrell. We've got Brigadier General Bodick talking about a Marxist revolution underway in the United States. We're going to ask him next, how can this be stopped in its tracks? Frank Gaffney, Captain Maureen Bannon, Stephen K. Bannon in the War Room. We're going to return in just a moment.
Everything's just beginning, but the games you want to play. Bring it on and I will fight to the end. Just watch and see. It's all started, everything's begun, and you are over. Cause we're taking down the CCP. Spread the word all through Hong Kong. We will fight till they're all gone. We rejoice when there's no more. Let's take down the CCP.
War Room. Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
It's Saturday, the 15th of May, the year of our Lord, 2021, now with almost 53 million downloads on a podcast, and we're live everywhere across the nation on the John Frederick Radio Network, streaming on Real America's Voice, up on the satellite,
Dish Channel 219 on cable, Comcast Channel 113 on Roku, Pluto, and most particularly, GNews and GTV. We're live in Mandarin and now in Japanese. We're to the diaspora, the Chinese people throughout the world, and later in the day, blown through the firewall to Lao Beijing, those yearning to be free in China, our colleagues that are fighting for their freedom every day against the transnational criminal organization that is the Chinese Communist Party. I want to welcome you to a special, The American General's Talk, and a letter that shocked the world this week for some of the most revered combat veterans of our nation's history, have led our young men and women on battlefields throughout the world. These Americans are of unquestionable patriotism. They warned the nation in September with a letter that said, if this is the most important election in the history of this republic, and this is what will happen. And about the 100th day of the Biden administration, they came out and said it and down in print to say, hey, this is spinning out of control in every different aspect, and it is incumbent upon the American people at the grassroots level. You can't wait to just people come in and say, hey, we're going to take you here, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. It is upon you, and that's why this audience is so powerful, from PTA boards to school boards to precinct committeemen taking over the Republican Party in Georgia and in South Carolina, standing up and making sure the patriots in Arizona sit there with 2.1 million ballots, grinding away in very unromantic circumstances to find out what exactly happened on November 3rd. So this revolution is ongoing. Hey, it's countering a Marxist revolution that's going on here in the United States. It is General Boykin, General Harrell, and General Bodick join us today. Want to go around the horn. Thank you for staying for this second hour, for at least the first segment. General Boykin, of that entire letter, the audience has it. We're going to put it up on the site again, blow it out again. In the letter, what would you have people focus on? What do you think is the most important part of the letter as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, the thing that I am most passionate about is our military. We talk about that a little bit in the thing. And Steve, you know, you can give our military the best technology, the best weapons and airplanes and tanks and whatever, and that's good. It's going to give them an advantage on the battlefield, but there is nothing on that battlefield that is more important than the cohesion and the morale of those men and women that are out there fighting. Those men and women have to be able to depend on each other. And what's happening in our military with these social experiments and this weaponization of our military now and making them part of this big con by having them stand out there with no weapons out on the streets of Washington, I believe is eroding the cohesion and the morale. And there is nothing that is doing that more than teaching this critical race theory nonsense.
Amen.
All it's doing is dividing the men and women in our military. So my highest passion in this letter is for our military and what's happening.
Well, one thing before we move on, General Boykin, they're making, and the guys at Revolver have done amazing analysis about these new commissars that are in the Pentagon, and now they're going to have these new commissars that are going to be part of Congress talking about for the whole sexual harassment part of it, these political commissars that are going through people's social media and make sure they broom people who they consider to be seditionist, to be traitors, to be people that are extremists.
And Trump supporters.
Trump support domestic terrorists. What say you to that, sir?
Yeah, listen, it sounds an awful lot like Soviet Russia. It sounds a lot like the Soviet Union with commissars and people. Look, you know, Steve, because you're a veteran. You know that this is all of these things are chain of command issues. They're issues that the chain of command has to deal with. And what we're ultimately doing is we're usurping the authority of the chain of command. And that is a fundamental problem in our military, because if you don't let the commanders have the authority to deal with not only the situations in their units, but the people in their units, you are undermining their authority, their credibility, and that's going to be reflected on the battlefield in a very negative way.
General Harrell, let me bring you in here. Of the letter that you signed, sir, what do you believe the American people, what's the most important part of the letter you would like the American people to focus on?
Well, I think the most important part of it is to focus on the fact that we're not advocating anything new. We're talking about following the law, following the election law, following the rule of law. That is very, very important. I couldn't agree more with what General Boykin said. He's absolutely correct. The only thing we should be looking for in the military is to build cohesion and to choose people who meet the standards. It's very clear. These standards are not evolved overnight. They've been around for a long time. And if you meet the standards, do your job successfully, you're rewarded. People move up. And that cohesion that builds is irreplaceable. I agree with Jerry on that. But if you think we're wing nuts, tell me where these wing nuts have the law and the Constitution incorrectly.
General Bodick, same question to you. Of this letter that you signed, what do you think the American people ought to focus on most, and what do you believe is the most important part of it?
Yes, sir. I have in complete agreement with General Boykin on the military point and the rule of law point that General Harrell made. So I am going to go to the security aspect of this, our national security, both internally and externally. I think Americans need to really understand that they have a serious issue with security. And, oh, no. Are we back? All right, we're back.
Yes, sir.
Are we back, sir?
We got you, General Bodick. Yes, sir.
All right, we're back. All right, so internally, borders, really, really bad situation we have, and it's affecting us all across the nation with human trafficking, increase in drugs, weapons, terrorists coming into our country. This is terrible. It's terrible for New Hampshire. It's terrible for every state. Secondly, China, Russia, North Korea, Iran. Look what the policies and the changes have done to our security outside the United States. So please, please understand that the only thing we're concerned about is your safety and security, your economic and fiscal responsibility of our nation. And all three of those are in jeopardy because of security.
General Bodick,
I hope you got all of that.
Yeah, we got it fine. Hang on for a second. I got to ask you guys, you gentlemen, the following. In the letter, what made particularly some people blow up is, besides the thing about the Marxist revolution, it's got to be stopped, you specifically singled out Joe Biden, the commander-in-chief, as not being up to the job mentally or physically. General Boykin, let's start with you. One, was that necessary? Why was it necessary, and what do you mean?
For 4 years of the Trump administration and a year of the campaign, he was bombarded with questions about his mental acuity, his fitness to be the commander-in-chief. And we're not coming to any conclusions in this letter, if you'll read it carefully. But what we are saying is that this needs to be questioned, and that it needs to be taken seriously. And look, let's be clear, Steve. When you can't even remember your own Secretary of Defense's name, and when you can't remember Kevin McCarthy's name, the minority leader in the House of Representatives, and things like that, that are good indicators that there's something off. And when the Democrats are starting to ask questions about the nuclear launch procedures and all, it gives our adversaries certainly a big question in their mind as to the fitness of our president. And we are doing exactly the same thing, saying it has to be considered. They did it for Trump. Now, you know, you got to be at least objective on this issue.
Okay, last question for the three of you, and I'll start with you, General Boykin. What would you – this is the most activist audience in all media. What would you ask this audience to do starting today? What's your recommendation to – if you want to counter what's in the letter, what are you asking this audience to do? General Boykin, we'll start with you.
Okay. Yep, let's start at the bottom, and you need to get on the school board, or you at least need to be attending school board meetings. You need to be attending city council meetings. You need to make your voice heard. then you need to get registered. You need to make sure you vote, and you better vote judiciously. You better know what you're voting for. You better know what these people stand for. And then bombard your members of Congress, both the House and the Senate. Bombard them with your objections to what you see unfolding. And then stand ready to be part of anything that comes along that gives you an opportunity to let your voice be heard. And the most important thing, though, is getting to the polls and voting the right way.
Okay, General General Harrell, same question. What do you want this audience to do? What's your call to action?
Well, the first thing they need to do, I think, is to fall down on their knees and try to seek some guidance. And probably everybody won't be able to do that, but they need to pay attention and get involved. Two out of the three of us are running for some kind of a political office. I applaud Don for what he's doing. I don't know that Jerry's doing anything. I just got elected to be the party chairman in Washington County, which is in East Tennessee. And get involved. I agree with 100% with what Jerry said, because if you don't know what's going on and you're not involved, you really can't complain about it. And I think the more veterans we have involved because of the service they've done to their country already, the better off we're going to be. I am not saying that we should only have veterans in these positions, but we need more of them. And pound the whiz out of your people that are elected and hold them accountable for what they're doing. You know, when they violate the Constitution, let somebody hear about it. Call the news, you know, and let's try to get them fired up, too, and get them busier and working the way they should be.
General Bodick, we got about a minute left. Can you tell us your call to action and also give us your website for your campaign, sir?
Yes, sir. So get involved. Hold your leaders, your elected officials, accountable and responsible for what they do. Question them. That is your right. They work for you. You do not work for them. And they've twisted that. And we got to bring it back. And thirdly, please do what you can to support my campaign. www.donbaldick.com. I am the true conservative here in New Hampshire, and I will do the right thing in the United States Senate for our economic prosperity, fiscal responsibility, and the safety and security of Americans.
Okay,
bless you all.
We're going to put this all up. I got to say something. For all the courage and all the bravery you've shown throughout your career in uniform on battlefields throughout the world, leading our young men and women, the courage you have shown to stand up and be counted now, I think will be remembered as probably your greatest and bravest moment. Remember.
Finest hour.
Finest hour. What Winston Churchill said, courage is the most important of all the virtues, because it's upon courage that all the other virtues rest. General Harrell, Boykin, and Bodick, thank you very much for joining us today on the special, the American Generals Talk. Thank you, guys.
God bless you.